Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Pray Different Podcast. We with the Pray Different Podcast. Brought to you by yours truly, That Girl in a Bag of Chips, where you get to see the raw and real ins and outs of a woman after Christ's heart. I'm Nicole Adela, fearfully and wonderfully made in God's eyes. Please excuse my voice. The most important part is that you hear it, right? But these allergies are really trying to whoop me. And I've been catching myself a lot lately saying my allergies, they're not mine in the name of Jesus. I need to stop claiming them because there's power of life and death in the tongue. And I'm not about to keep pronouncing sickness for myself. They are not my allergies. They are my enemy's allergies. So he can have them. And another thing, you cannot tell me that God is not like, nope, bruh. Like, people before couldn't tell me that God wasn't real and Jesus wasn't real. Like, you couldn't tell me that before, but like, I was just in the car and I was sneezing like a mad woman, bike to bike. And I said, you sneezes are to cease now in the mighty name of Jesus. And when I tell you, baby, them sneezes stopped, it's like, yeah, they just knew. They're like, oh, she's not here to play. We don't belong here. Let's skedaddle, as you should. I just want to start us off with a word of prayer before we jump into this, because I'm extremely ecstatic about this topic. But Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for waking me up this morning. I thank you for granting me the grace to be a part of your kingdom advancers, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the breath of life, Lord Jesus, to get to the destiny in which I was created for, to give you glory and bring more souls to the kingdom of heaven. Father God, I pray that as this episode continues, Father God, you speak through me, Lord Jesus. Not my words, but yours, Lord. Not my will, but yours. And whoever is to listen to this, Lord Jesus, I pray that they hear it and they gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding through the Holy Spirit. And that these words do not fall onto deaf ears, Lord Jesus, but they take heart to this message, Lord. And they take what you have said to them through me and run with it in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, and we are careful to give you all the glory. For in Jesus' mighty, matchless name we are praying. Amen. I'm trying something new. I'm not using my mic right now. I'm using my phone, and I want to see if there's a difference. So we're going to be doing that. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed and fasted for the Lord to make me patient, thinking that the next morning I'm just going to wake up patient. I'm going to be like, yup, I told y'all, God, he be giving it to us. You're just asking, you receive. not when it comes to characteristics like that. Fruits of the Spirit, like, ooh, I just got a revelation. Fruits of the Spirit, we're going to dive into it, but fruits of the Spirit, right? So for a tree to grow, it has to go through different long stages to grow into a big, beautiful tree. It has to go through dirt. It has to get the resources it needs. It needs sun. It needs water. It needs nutrients. It needs all these things, but it also takes time. So when we're praying for fruits of the Spirit, like, Lord, I want to love like you love. Lord, I want to be patient how you're patient. I want peace. I want these things. The Lord, it's not just like I think it's so good that he used fruit. Because it's going to take time. This is not something you just, overnight, boom, there's the fruit. When you see a tree, it don't just grow overnight. It takes time because it is producing something so beautiful and meticulously made. Oh my gosh, God is good. Well, I feel like sometimes we think that when we ask God for things, he's just supposed to give it to us. Whereas a lot of the times he gives us the opportunity to grow it. And that's where trials and tribulations come into play. And I feel like that's something that I really needed to learn this week, because when I tell you, okay, so my church just turned 20. Woohoo! Shout out Jesus House Antioch. Yeah. and we just give glory to God. We just thank him because there's a lot of things that people thought would carry on to 20 years that did not make it to 1, 5, 10. But this is the work of the Lord. And we have made it to 20. So glory to God. But after this victorious weekend, I feel like I had such a life-changing experience on Saturday. Just really connecting with my father, with my friend, with my lover, my healer, my comforter, the I am that I am, like the greatest of the universe, the creator of the universe. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, Mr. 10 for 10. Yeah. Child like CeCe put me on to Mr. 10 for 10 because he eats every single time. Like, he's a 10 out of a 10, 100% every single time. Okay, not the point. But, yeah, when I was connecting with him, I just felt so victorious because we're not fighting to victory. We're fighting from victory because we are victorious in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your obedience, that you wanted the Lord's will to be done and not your own. Amen. But after feeling so victorious spiritually, the enemy wanted to attack me physically. I got into a small car accident. Finances were just not working out. Things were hitting me left, right, and center. But I just had so much peace that I couldn't even cry. I couldn't even be angry how I used to be angry. I was just upset in the moment, of course. But I was just thanking God that, Lord, it could have been worse. I could have been dead. I could have been on the streets. I could have been, but you are so faithful that you're just too faithful to fail. Like, it's not even possible. But I feel like it's so important for us to lean into our trials and tribulations and thank God in the midst of those storms. Some are tests. Some of our trials and tribulations, and some are building blocks to get us where we need to get to in order to fulfill the destiny that we were created for. My mouth is just a little mush pie. Always like that. I don't know why. But, you know, the Lord's perfected my craft because before, as I was growing up, I did not like the sound of my voice. It got to a point where I was just like, it is what it is. And now I love my voice because the Lord is using it to spread the good news. Hallelujah. But yes, the Lord knows our yearning for patience. He knows our yearning for peace. And he knows that it will move us closer and closer towards the destiny we were created for. So in order to fulfill that destiny, we need to go through these trying times because there's a lot of pushback when you know who you are in Christ, because God gave us Luke 10:19, the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and nothing by any means can harm us, no scheme of the enemy. He even gave Adam and Eve authority. That was the first thing he gave him. He gave him dominion and authority. Then he gave him a job. Yeah. So what? It's my God-given right to have authority through Christ. Don't play with me, enemy. Thank you. People think from the outside looking into Christianity that it's all sunflowers and rainbows, whereas it's really a relationship where we're learning ourselves and ultimately learning Christ. And we get to understand what needs to be done to fulfill a glory that is within us, right? Because the enemy pushes so hard against people that are clearly noted in heaven. So if the Lord's like, my hand is on this child, the enemy's like, oh yeah, she's definitely noted in hell. He's definitely noted in hell. So we're definitely going to be sending a lot of schemes towards their way. But when you are enveloped in Christ, it gets to the point where the enemy has to talk to the Lord before even coming near you, just like Job. Job had a hedge of protection. The enemy couldn't just go and do willy-nilly. He had to converse with God first. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. Be on your Job level. Job level. I mean, I'm not wishing no Job season on nobody, but if you need it, by all means necessary. Okay, but I want us to start off with a scripture that really sets the tone. And it comes from John chapter 15, verse 5. And I'm going to read the CSB version because I really feel like when I put it side by side to the King James version, to the King James version, it's literally the same thing, but without the thou and the. It's the same thing. They just replaced it with like you and the type of thing. But John chapter 15, verse 5, I'm going to give you a second to get it. Say amen if you have it. Hallelujah. Amen. It reads, I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. After reading and studying this scripture, I look at trees so differently now, so very differently, because they're so very different. So, Lord, there's so much beauty in a tree after reading the word. And I just think it's so beautiful that the story of humanity starts off with a tree. Ooh. I think there's a revelation there. We're going to get there. I feel it. I think we all have a great understanding of what he means by this. He's saying that he is our source. And he is where all of our spiritual nutrients comes from. He's where all things good come from so that we can produce fruit for other people as well. Because we don't produce fruit for ourselves. I hope you know that. When a tree produces fruit, it's not just for itself. It's for the life cycle to continue, right? And so when a tree bears fruit, it either dies on the tree, the fruit can die on the tree, or it could die off the tree if it's not consumed, right? So it needs to be consumed. It needs to be plucked. It needs to be consumed by someone else. And so I want to emphasize the fact that the scripture says fruit singular and not fruits plural. I feel like growing up, I've always heard the fruits of the spirit, but it's the fruit of the spirit. So when we're talking about the fruits of the spirit, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, I said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, I got that written on my heart. It says, but the fruit singular of the spirit is, those are the fruit clusters, but not different types of fruit. I need to say that again. I need you to get revelation before I get any deeper. Those are the fruit clusters. It's like multiple grapes on a vine, right? Chunks of grapes on a vine, but not different fruit. They're all coming from the same Holy Spirit tree. When you go to a fig tree, there are only figs growing on that tree. It's the same thing as Jesus being the trunk, being the roots, and we are the branches that the fruit grow on, but it is one kind of fruit, many of the same kind of fruit on that tree. Now, this is a revelation that my pastor gave us during a Bible study when we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and I was stuck on it for so long that I just felt it was so necessary to keep repeating it, drilling it into my head, because I felt like there was another revelation, one after the other, that the Holy Spirit wants me to lean upon. And he keeps giving me new revelations. I'm telling you, there's so much in the fruit of spirit, of the Spirit. Also, I feel like in this season, it's extremely important for me to realize the more I am connected to the source, the more I will bear the good fruit, the more I will bear the good things in my life. And like I said, every time I bear good things, every time I bear good fruit, it's not for me. It's so that I can service my neighbor. It's so that I can service my enemy. It's extremely important to realize what you receive, any blessing you receive spiritually, physically, it's not for yourself. When you realize that, you start to love how Christ loves. God gave you a car so that you can help other people. when you start to, when someone's asking you, do you think you can take me home? When you realize, oh, this is why I was given this car. It's so much easier for you to say yes because you know that you're in Christ. Christ gave it to you, so you will never lack with it. I'm speaking from experience because I personally was gifted a car from God. And I've never lacked with that car. I've never had to take my parents' car because I don't have, because I have zero gas in my car. That has never been my portion. I had a nail in my tire easily fixed because God gave me the opportunity to be resourceful for the thing that he put in my life to service others. That is a fruit that we need in order to service other people, right? There are many times that I pray to be kind to everyone around me, including my enemies, to love them like I love myself. But I am disconnected from the vine. How can we even be connected to the vine? Because I feel like that's so important. First of all, let's go into the fact that the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. First, love the Lord your God above all things. Then second, love your neighbor as yourself. People are only seeing two commandments there. There are three. Love the Lord your God. Understand how he loves you so you can love yourself. That's number two. Then number three is to love your neighbor as yourself. If you love God but never take the opportunity to learn or to understand the promises that he has for you so that you can love yourself, understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made for a greater purpose, then you will not be able to pour out that love into your neighbor because you will covet it. You will always hold on to that love because you're like, well, I don't have self-love. I don't have a self-esteem. I don't think highly of myself. So anytime I get what feels like love, or anytime I do get what is love, which is God, through the word, I hold on to it because I don't understand how much God loves me so that I can love my neighbor with what I've received. Come on. That's good. But how can we even be connected to the vine, the source of all things good, the source to life, the source that helps us to bear fruit, the spiritual nutrients, right? Reading the word is so very important. I know we hear it day in and day out, but I don't think we take heed to it the way we're supposed to take heed to it. Reading the word, especially especially when you don't feel like reading the word, there is a force that is causing you to not want to read that word. That is the time that you press in the hardest. You don't want me to read the word, enemy? Fine. I'm going to read it today. And I'm going to pray intentionally that the Lord reveals something to me that I can understand his character all the more and assume that character and therefore fulfill the destiny that I was created for. And we all think that destiny is a goal. Destiny is a journey. Oh my gosh. That revelation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Destiny is a journey. Everything you do is a part of your destiny. Oh my gosh. All right, Holy Spirit, I hear you. Yeah, okay. Move on. Reading the word. In the beginning, John 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. When you read the word, you understand the character of our Father. When you understand the character of your Father, you can love him how he loves you. No, that's not what I meant to say. When you love your Father, you can understand the love that he has for you, that you can love yourself, that you don't need anything of this world. You don't need to give to receive. You give out of the kindness of your heart because you know that the Lord loves you enough that even the birds that are just flying in the sky, this is Matthew, Hail Jesus. This is in Matthew. that the birds that are flying around, they have shelter, they have food. So who are you to not receive from the Father? You're not giving to receive. You're giving knowing that the creator of the universe can supply all your needs. Hey, Jesus. Number two. Okay, number one, we have reading the word, which is understanding the character of our Father. Ooh, I feel like when you look at it that way, it makes you want to read the word more. It's like, I really want to get to know you. I really want to get to know you. Because how are we supposed to be Christ-like without knowing who our Father is? I don't think it's possible to be able to be like Christ and not read the Bible. It don't work. No. Number two, praying and meditating on that word day and night. Day and night. When you meditate on scripture, I promise you, the next time you pray, that scripture is going to come up in your mind and you're going to be like, that's why the Holy Spirit led me to that. Because I'm going through something that I can connect to that scripture because I got a revelation of a different meaning of that scripture. Now I can apply it to prayer. Oh my goodness. And the Lord's word will not return to him void. Go ahead and remind him of his scripture. He didn't forget. But when you, yeah, Lord, your word said. You're also reminding the enemy. Oh, she knows. He knows where he stands in Christ. Woo, we gonna have to shake this up. And the enemy is not dumb. I'm gonna tell you that much. You think because you didn't say out loud that you was fasting that the enemy don't see you not eating. He's still gonna hit you, especially when you go to work. Fast, don't say nothing out loud. Bet you they bring in Subway. They bring in Popeyes. They bring in Crumble Cookie. Yeah, sure will. I'm telling you the truth. Number three. Okay, so we have number one, reading the word, understanding the character of God. Same thing. Number two, praying and meditating on that word. Okay, when we think of reading the word as understanding the character, praying and meditating is studying that character to assume that character. And then number three, we're going to go with surrounding us with people who are doing the same things or following the same goal, which is to be more like Christ and to win souls for the kingdom through love, through all the fruit of the Spirit. Because it's even though sometimes we fall short because we are human beings, we are flesh at the end of the day, we are born into sin. We have to realize that it is not flesh and blood we're wrestling against. Like, okay, yeah, we're humans. We have flesh. We have skin. We have bones. We have all those things. But it's against powers, principalities, and rulers of the darkness in heavenly places, in the spiritual realm. So it is 110% possible for us to misreading the word one day, reading and being in a prayer session. Although it is not good that we do it, sometimes it happens. But we have to crucify our flesh daily. And some days, we choose not to rely on Christ, and our flesh wins the battle. We have to encourage ourselves to stay in the Lord. That is why it is so important to have a community. That's why church is so important. People think, oh, you go to church all these years. It's very possible to go to church all these years and just be a pew in the church. What do I mean by that? You go to church religiously. You're there every single meeting and you do not emulate Christ at all. Once you leave, nastiness, right back to it. Nobody can see you and be like, where's her joy coming from? Where is this love coming from? How is she so nice? No, they're like, Dang, what she go through to make her act like that? What did he go through to make him act like that? It's so important that we have people around us who will help us through our convictions. And if you're not feeling convictions, they can tell you as well. Because people think that everything is conviction. But if the Bible says, don't steal, and you steal something, you feel good about it, and you're like, I didn't feel conviction, the Bible clearly states, don't do it. So what do you mean you didn't feel no conviction? The community around you is going to be like, that's not good. That's not who you are meant to be. I know you better than that. You need to take these specific steps to get back to the Father in the way that he has for you, to get back on that narrow path, because you're straying a little bit, and I love you. That's what I'm telling you. And so that's what I was saying about church. When you have a community of people who not only are deeply rooted in the church, they're deeply rooted in Christ, and they become the church. They don't need a building. They don't need a facility to preach the good news. They don't need a facility that when you walk through that threshold, you're like, I know I can't wear this. I know I can't wear that. I know I can't do this. They're telling you outside, like, y'all are going out and you're like, baby girl, you know good and well, if you take a sip of that alcohol, you're going to spiral right back to your old sinful nature. You're not going to stop. You're going to take one drink and then you're going to end up being drunk and you're not going to remember nothing. The enemy's going to use that as a doorway to bring seven stronger demons back in. Now you're fighting and asking the Lord, why are you in your Job season? No, baby, you put yourself there. We are human and cannot fully do anything without our source. We must stay connected to the vine. If you are a branch not connected to your source, to the roots, where the nutrients are coming from, you cannot produce any fruit. It's so important to look at Jesus as an example. When he was talking to the woman at the well, right? I was listening to With the Perrys, and they were talking about how to minister to the woman at the well. I think it's so important to stay listening to the word and things of the word, because you get inspiration from it. Not only that, but also it's very important to guard your eyes and your ears, because the things that you listen to, the things that you see, your ears and your eyes are gateways. The enemy can, oh, there goes spirit. That's a different topic for another time. He looked so human and so needy to the Samaritan woman that all she noticed was that he was a Jew. She didn't notice that he is the Son of Man. She just noticed this is a human that who's the ops. She did not see him and be like, this is Jesus. Hold on. He asking for water. Let me get him anything he wants. He said, if you knew who I was, you would be asking me for the living water, because you would never thirst again. Jesus is a great example of how we are to use our weaknesses as strengths, because in our weakness, there is strength in the Lord. So when we are weak, which is in many different areas, we have to press into our Father just as Jesus did. As he was thirsty, he was able to minister to a woman who was the opposing side of a Jew, a Samaritan woman. And she was able, by testimony, to increase the faith of others. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We have to use our weakness, give it to God in exchange for his strength, because it helps with the faith of the next person and gets to the fulfillment of our destiny, the journey of our life, giving glory to God in all things that we do. Because in our eating and drinking, we have to do it to the glory of God. Not we have to, we can choose to, because God gives us free will to do it to the glory of God. Wow. Jeez. Winning souls in the process, because people get to see those fruits that we bear. They get to consume it and wonder, where do you get your nutrients from? what soil do you use? Like, what tree are you connected to? Because this fruit is bussing. This fruit is banging. Where is this love coming from? Where is this joy coming from? Oh my goodness. In the midst of this chaos, in the midst of all things falling apart, the beauty of us staying connected to the source and bearing good fruits is that we can win souls through it for the kingdom of heaven. I beseech you to stay encouraged in the fact that we are unstoppable when we are connected to the vine. Capital T, capital V, the vine. Ah, yeah. Lord. Ooh. My God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I just want to close out right now. Heavenly Father, I really, really appreciate you that every single time I come with an idea, or when you give me an idea, you always give me the words, you always give me new revelation, fresh revelation, that not only is important for me, but is important for the people listening. Father God, I pray that this reaches the ears that it's supposed to. Father God, I pray that I take heed to the word that you spoke through me, Lord Jesus. Father God, I thank you. I praise you. I give you all adoration, Father God. I bless your holy, mighty, loving, everlasting name, Father God. Lord, I thank you. My goodness, because I cannot do this without you. That's how I know that you have me walking in the purpose for this time of my life, that I cannot do these beautiful podcast episodes without the Holy Spirit, because most of the things I said, I didn't even write down. Wow. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I bless your name, for in Jesus' mighty, matchless name I pray. Amen. Goodness gracious. Ah, yeah. Woo, 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 woo. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I really hope you learned something. I really hope that there was a nugget in there that you can take and you can meditate on. I really hope that there was a part that you can even go and research all the more. Questions you can ask God, you can ask yourself, you can, you know, be edified through this episode. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. I love you all. Thank you.